Hey, this is Marilyn Gigliotti.
Hey, this is Brian O'Halloran.
Hey, everybody. My name is Scott Schiaffo, actor best known as the Chuli's Gum Guy from the film Clerks.
And welcome to Clerks Minute.
You're listening to Clerks Minute.
And I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Hi, this is Mike Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Men, the podcast I sell comics, and the Ming and Mike Show. And you're listening to Clerks Minute.
What's up, everybody? This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. You got a minute? Good, because you're listening to Clerks Minute.
Hey, this is Walt Flanagan, the Lon Chaney of the 90s, and you are listening to Clerks Minute.
And welcome back to Clerks Minute, the show where we look back at the 2006 Kevin Smith sequel, Clerks 2, two jail fight minutes at a time. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
I'm Mark.
And I just want to make a note to everybody listening. This is our last episode of 2018. It is New Year's Eve when you're hearing this. And Happy New Year, everybody. When you next hear us, it'll be 2019.
Ta-da!
And make sure you donkey show responsibly.
You porch monkey.
Let's get back to the jail cell.
Was that a racial slur?
No, just a slur.
Just a slur. He's taking it back.
There you go.
So, hey. Let's get back to this. So, we're back in jail, and Randall, after having the nice conversation about Carbonite and everything else in our last episode, Randall goes to Dante and said, "What do you think, Dante?" And this completely ignites Dante.
Yeah.
This is
he goes full out psychotic there.
Yeah, he jumps up, slams freaking Randall into the cell, and I think I'm going to kill you. And Jay and Bob are like, whoa, where did this come from?
Oh, steel cage match!
That was amazing.
There you go.
By the way, having Jay yelling that from the top of the cell is one of the funniest moments of this whole area, because that's hysterical.
Although I do have to say, I don't think it's a smart idea to kill him in a prison.
No, because you're definitely going to jail at that point.
Yeah.
You're definitely going.
Yeah.
At least wait till you get out, find a nice place with a lot of loose soil to bury somebody, and then kill him.
Meadowlands. Anyway.
Wow.
Hoffa's buried.
I thought Hoffa was poured into an overpass.
No, Hoffa's buried under the old Giant Stadium. Oh. That was always the thing.
He's for the George Washington Bridge.
No. It's always been under, meaning right outside MetLife Field is where Hoffa's buried.
Yep.
That's actually people that know their own, don't even know Giant Stadium used to be there, right behind MetLife Field. So where WrestleMania is going to be, that's where Hoffa's buried.
So they're wrestling, so they're basically wrestling on top of Hoffa's corpse.
Yep, pretty much.
So he's got the best seat in the house. Ba-dum-ba-tsh.
Anyway,
we'd have the best seat in the house if this were the Evolution pay per view.
Anyway, you ruined my life. Your life is already ruined.
He has a point.
He does have a point. Except for Randall, actually makes the most sense out of anybody at this point. And to Dante's point, though, he has not had time to really, like, contemplate everything that just went on. Like, there was so much going on in a 10-minute span that his brain has not comprehended everything yet.
It's like CJ had a Chuck E. Cheese.
To a point. Because you got to think. In a matter of 10 minutes, we went from Dante coming and making his place on fire, to watching a donkey show, to confronting Becky about his feelings, to Emma finding out about him and Becky, Emma ending the engagement, him getting kicked in the nuts, and then going off to jail. That's 10 minutes of his life. So you can understand where his brain is a little fried at the moment.
you forget him figuring out there's no chick.
But
that's part of the donkey show. Yeah, so we'll go to the donkey show. Yeah.
But you have to understand that with everything that happened, he was bound to kind of go off on Randall.
Yes. Yeah. And what were you thinking? A fucking donkey show. And I love Randall's responses. It was your going away present. That's been his thing since the beginning of this movie, that he was getting him and going around. That was a donkey show. So that's been his realization since the beginning. Which, you know what? At least he's consistent.
Okay. At least it's something he'll always remember.
Yes, exactly.
So I'll put this hypothetically. Where is Dante supposed to be going?
Florida. He was supposed to go to Florida. He was supposed to get married. This is supposed to be his last day in New Jersey. Because if you propose, we were a little behind. Because Dad obviously hasn't watched the movie in a while.
Yeah.
Dante was supposed to get engaged to Emma.
Got it.
He was engaged to Emma. He was supposed to get married in Florida.
Okay.
And he was supposed to work at a car wash that his future father-in-law got him the job.
Yeah.
And the whole big thing, and her parents were going to give him a house.
Okay.
So if you're wondering what the rest of this game, that's his reference.
Got it, yeah.
This is supposed to be his last day in New Jersey.
I wasn't sure.
Yeah, that's where this is going.
Okay.
It's your going away present, and it sure was. I just didn't think I'd be going to prison.
Well, you will if you kill Randall here.
Yeah, so let me cut to the sexy side. And by the way, this is a combination of my really strange search engine, because this whole movie, I've had to look up really random weird shit. I really have.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of weird shit in this movie. I've had to look up just for verification, this conversation, and all the other stuff. The fact that last night, while doing my notes, I had to type into my search engine, interspecies relationship New Jersey law. That was a search I had to look up.
So, are you telling me that this is a real thing?
So, I looked this up, and everything that's said in this scene is 100% accurate. 100% accurate. I will recite what's said in here, and it's exactly how it is.
Go ahead.
You can't be in prison for watching an interspecies act. You guys will walk. The sexy stuff talking, by the way, just keep it up. The most I'll get is a fine for animal abuse and a lot of disgusted looks. And I'll just stop there. That is the law. You cannot get in jail for this. This is not a criminal act.
So, what Sexy Stud is referring is that since he's funking a donkey, the only thing he's going to get is a fine for animal abuse.
Correct. Yeah. There is nothing criminally wrong with what was going on in that restaurant.
Yeah. Now,
morally wrong, that's a different level. But now, criminally wrong, there's nothing wrong.
I was going to say, the people who are giving him the disgusted looks are more than likely doing something like that themselves.
Okay, so... Wow. How can I put this?
excuse me.
So it doesn't matter whether it's a donkey or something else. It's only animal abuse, and it's right. Only fine.
Right.
Yep.
Holy crap.
So, by the way, to just continue this line, though, disgusted looks from ass-wiped conservatives who can't appreciate sexual exploration.
So basically people who are more than likely doing it themselves.
Pretty much.
Sexual
exploitation. Exploration was the word.
Exploration. Okay.
Exploring his sexuality. That's pretty much what he's saying.
You know...
Shout out to shout out to Senator Tappy McWhite stands.
Okay.
I understand where you're coming from. I get it.
up to a point, but...
Not my thing, but I get it.
Yeah, not my thing, and then... Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
You know what the fact is? Here's the law. I had to look it up in the joke for this.
Okay.
Kevin Smith had to actually look this up to write this in here just to make sure this was covered.
So it
you
was...
know he had to do that.
So it's accurate.
Yes.
Got it. Yeah.
The fact that Kevin took the time to actually look this law up to make sure that he can say this in the movie and it be truthful says something about Kevin. The fact he went into that much detail to make sure this was accurate.
Wow.
So there you go.
Like, ain't my cup of tea, but, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Exactly. That's what I was about to say, too.
and then we get, I missed my donkey.
Which is a great moment. It's just like, wow. What is this relationship between you and your donkey? Like, wow.
You know what's the strangest? I honestly feel bad for
him. I kind of do.
So here's the thing now. Do they put the donkey, like, in Humane Society and protect them?
I don't know what that is. That's a good question.
Well, there you
That's
go.
Never clarified.
There you go. See?
Never explained where the donkey, where Kelly is.
If I remember right.
It's probably becoming a bottle of Elmer's glue.
Wait a minute. If I remember right, there's no other reference to the donkey in
Kelly,
the movie.
We're done with Kelly. We're done with Kelly at this point.
Oh, poor donkey.
Kelly's the name of the donkey, by the way. Yeah, Kelly's the name
poor
of the donkey.
Poor donkey.
Well, that's it for the donkey, and that's it for... Sexy's done. We're done. That's how I write out his character, because he's no longer available. He's no longer in this movie after this. He kind of goes back, sulks in the back because he's a donkey, and that's it for him in this movie. What a crazy last 15 minutes.
So Sexy Stick kind of fades into the sunset with Kelly, is that it?
Pretty much. He's not needed for the rest of this movie. Yeah. He's just there to explain the laws and sulk in the back of the jail cell while the two of them have a fight. That's what happens here.
You know what Sexy Stick would say if he... Kelly were there, right? Hee-haw.
Oh.
Anyway, we go back to the argument.
That
Dante
hurt.
I can't I can't believe you. I was finally getting my shit together. By the way, I don't have the entire thing. I didn't have the time to tamble, but I was getting tired of doing this part. But I was hours away from getting out of here, and you somehow managed to obliterate all that and reduce me to a convict. You're over-exaggerating. It was just explained. Like, come on. This might be on... This won't even be on your record. Like, this is not even going to be on your record at this point.
Change the fucking record.
As a matter of fact, actually, it's a good question.
Go ahead.
If you get arrested, but you don't get charged for anything, is it on your record?
If you're not charged, no.
No? Okay. That's a good question to you, actually. No. I was wondering.
Oh, if you don't get charged or convicted...
You get the walk. So obviously, you're not going to get charged
for anything. So if you don't get charged or convicted, it's not on your record. But... If you get citations, it's fine. Like driving or things, it's there that
that's
you got
points
a ticket.
And all that kind of stuff. Yeah. Right. That was, I'm just wondering. Right. I never knew that. I was actually curious. Yeah. If you get arrested, it won't count against you if you're not charged for anything.
Correct. Because you're not convicted or charged.
Got it. Okay. That was my question here. Mm-hmm. Cool. That's good to know.
Although I wonder what they're going to do with all the health code violations.
That's a different problem. Yeah. That's Becky. Because notice Becky is in here. Becky, because I think she could use the logic of, I didn't know anything about this. Yeah. I knew nothing about. That was another point. I was wondering. Okay, like, she's not here because she's probably back at the restaurant cleaning up, number one. And number two, she probably said that a couple of, I had nothing to do with any of this.
I think she's cleaning up more than number one and number two.
Well, I was just saying. She's probably cleaning up the mess, but she's probably pissed. Okay, so let's go back to this. Okay. Let's go back to this.
All right.
So Becky is back at movies during all this. So she's got to deal with the fact, number one, the cops go up there and say, were you here for this? She probably said no. That's number one. Number two. She's got to clean the mess up now. She's got to be... She's probably now more pissed at them. Because now, not only are they in jail, they're not here to clean this up. Because she's going to get the restaurant back open for the morning.
Yeah.
She's going to get the ones back up in the morning.
So is she...
Oh, shit. I didn't know about that.
Is she more pissed at Dante or Randall?
At this point, what do you think? Randall?
I think she's pissed at both of them.
Oh, no, for one reason or another. For different reasons.
Yeah.
She's pissed at Dante for everything that happened with her. But the actual place is Randall. This is all Randall's fault, really.
Yeah.
And...
Although she can't really be too mad because she was getting into the donkey show there a bit too.
Yes,
okay, wait a minute. Did Kevin put a disclaimer on there that no donkeys were harmed during
the
filming of this film?
I will say something. I might have brought this up in an earlier episode, but I'll say it here anyway just to say. Okay. Rosario on the document DVD here.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually was upset because there was no real donkey there. There wasn't a real donkey show because she signed on for a donkey show and there was no real donkey show going on. She was actually upset by this. So, no, there was no real donkey show going on.
Wow.
It was all mimed. There was no real donkey show.
I love
you
that.
You got
one.
It.
Yeah. The fact that she even said that in a public manner, it was straight up serious about it, is amazing to me.
So you're upset that there was not a real donkey show.
Yes, that was her logic. Because she thought when she signed up for this, she was going to get a real donkey show. Because in the Kevin Smith movie, she figured, well, if Kevin's got this in the script, it must be real. And it wasn't real.
Well, all I have to say to her now is, for God's sake, please marry me.
Seriously. Every time we mention her, there's an awesome story. It's like, wow, she's amazing.
The other reference I've seen, too, look at. Dante's wearing a cross, right?
Yes, that's a good point. I realized that.
And then, of course, is underneath Luke.
The Bible cross that we did in the last.
And Jay is wearing a T-shirt that says Jesus Christ on it.
No, it's a Buddy Christ shirt. That's the Buddy Christ shirt.
Okay.
It's the one that I got him.
Yeah, that Kyle actually bought me as a present. That I actually had in the drawer over there.
All right.
It's the Buddy Christ shirt from Dogma. It's from Dogma.
I mean, I'm looking at this thing. I'm going, it's kind of like, which is
a religious moment. It really is a religious moment at this
point. It's kind of like a poetic license that Kevin has where Dante's wearing a cross and he's underneath the Luke
Bible
scripture.
It's really crazy. When you think about it, all in one sentiment.
It's pretty much Dante having an epiphany.
Really? You're right.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right.
And that's more
later on. We'll get into that obviously later on in this fight.
It's his dude moment.
Yeah, and that's later on though. But here, Randall is now going to set him straight.
Yeah.
Like, come on, dude. You fucked up. You fucked up.
Yeah, this is quite honestly the last person you would expect to set anybody straight.
And you know what, though? I think I've said this a couple of times watching this, and we'll probably bring this up with other guests, because after that, we have this whole fight with other guests.
Yeah. Okay.
This is kind of the best friend fight. You have this argument or this discussion with your best friend once in a blue moon.
Yes.
Where they're going to say, you're being an asshole, and this is why. This is why you're being an asshole. And I don't like it, and I'm going to tell you I don't like it. I've had this fight with the people. I've had this fight with my best friend now.
Right.
Where it's like, you're being an asshole. Here's why you're being an asshole. I don't care if you're mad at me, because I know in like a week we're going to be fine.
Right.
So I'm going to be the one that sets you straight. I've had this argument with people, and then that's what this is turning into. This is the best friend saying, you're being a fucking asshole.
I think what it is, it's you're clearing the air because...
You need to once in a while.
Right, because Dante is upset with Randall of things that happened, and Randall is upset with Dante that has things happen. But now, once they clear the air, both of them, that they get it all out, then you're kind of wondering what's going to happen next, and I think that's why this scene works so well.
It does. It's really real life. This is really a real life moment. The situation they're in isn't real life, but the actual fight feels real, and that's the cool part.
Right.
It feels so real.
Well, they also really have to clear the air because it's basically hoping to get rid of the scent of donkey sex.
Oh my lord.
And cake.
Well, mostly donkey sex.
Cake has layers.
Yeah.
So, and this is where, this is Randall. Randall does have the... This would have been the mic drop moment if it wasn't for the fact we have another 8 minutes of this fight going on. I'm the engaged man who knocked up the boss.
Yeah.
And Jay drops down from the top. By the way, this is Jay. I think he's one of his last, like, what the fuck, Jay? What the fuck are you thinking moments where it's like, you knocked up the guy that owned movies?
Ew.
Wait a second. Does Jay have no logic at all?
And even better is Bob's expression that just goes,
but wait a minute. Jay is still under the influence.
No, actually, he's not. He is sober in this movie.
Really?
He's 100% sober in this movie. In the movie, he is sober.
Okay.
He had the chip and everything.
Yeah.
Wow.
He's sober.
Excellent.
Yeah, we learned at the beginning of the movie. This is actually, Jay Muse is clean, too, in this role.
Good.
He's right. Jay Muse legitimately, for this movie, is clean because he was told he could not be... He was actually going off the wagon. He was already back on the wagon for this movie. So that's a big deal.
Basically, the two things that led him to actually finally put a serious effort into staying clean, being Jay again... And not being able to hang around Harley.
Yes, exactly. Being around Harley Quinn Smith. That's a big deal.
Okay.
So, you know what? To Kevin's point?
Yeah.
There you go. Worked. Good call. It worked perfectly, and now it's been years.
Yeah.
And he's still sober to this day.
Well,
ever since then, he's been... I think he had one hiccup. Yeah. Other than that, he's been sober ever since.
Yeah.
God bless him.
That's a long time, too. If you think about the time frame, it's a long time.
And he's incredibly nice in real life.
Yes, we talked about that in a different episode. Yeah. He's a great guy. Jay's just being Jay. And Dante... said, would you just shut up? And now the two of them will go at it. Now, you had the reference point from the first movie here.
Yeah.
You can look up the reference point. Go ahead. Julie Dwyer's funeral.
What?
Julie's funeral.
Oh, Julie Dwyer. Yeah, they're talking about that a year ago at Julie Dwyer's funeral where he said, you know, I have to go and shit and get off the pot. You know, you're the one who told me to shit or get off the pot.
That was a fantastic reference to the first movie.
Yeah.
We did not have many references to the first movie at all in this movie.
Yeah.
And I think it's only one of two references we've made to the first movie. I think it's a good one. It's a great one because it kind of sets up. That was 10 fucking years ago.
Yeah.
We're still here.
Yeah.
We're still here.
Well, there you go.
That's a lot of time.
Yes.
So we go back and forth, and apparently they went to college for a little while.
Yeah.
And they went to, I have it on my phone, I looked it up right before we came on the air.
Okay.
They went to Brookdale Community College, which it mentioned as Brookdale. I looked this up, and this is a real school. It is in Middletown, New Jersey, established in 1967. It is a community college, which is like Bergen Community College. I went to Bergen Community College.
Yeah.
So it's a real school.
Okay.
And it looks like a pretty good college. I'm looking up the website right now. It's on brookdalecc.edu. By the way, I don't want to look this up. And it's a pretty much a straightforward community college, but it's a real place. And I like the fact that they reference a real school. Plug a real school in here.
That's
pretty cool.
Well, outstanding.
They actually have a radio station and everything.
Yeah. Wow.
Okay. Randall mentions that they dropped out, and of course, Dante tries to say it's because you stopped coming.
Oh, yeah. What it was Dante dropped out of school because Randall stopped going to class. That's how we clarified it.
Yeah, we were just killing time taking those classes. We even studied criminology for one semester. What were you starting to be, Batman?
What a great line, though. The fact that, knowing how much Kevin loves Batman, and this is the one reference to Batman in this movie. I love that.
And even better is that you have Jay and Bob giving each other knowing glances.
They laugh.
Yeah.
They're literally a tub of popcorn away from being audience members of this movie.
You know,
not to mention the fact they're probably thinking of Blunt Man and Chronic at the same time.
But, but here's the thing. You watch this movie and you kind of wonder, you know, how many times they had to retake a scene because these guys were like break down and, you know, say the lines and then get the gags and the jokes. So, I mean, I'm sure that there had to be a lot of scenes that were, you know, had many takes in it because...
Don't they have outtakes on the DVD, I think?
I'm not sure.
I think so, yeah. We'll have to do that in another episode. We'll have to go through all the deleted scenes
and outtakes. But, you know, everything flows together really well, so you got to give credit to Kevin Smith for that.
Well, he's also the editor.
He edited this movie. Well, he actually edited this movie as they were filming it.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
He edits his own films.
Good. Actually, here's the true story about this movie in particular.
Okay.
They rented a hotel for all the casts.
Right.
Kevin rented out 3 rooms for himself.
Uh-huh.
One for him and his wife and his kid.
Uh-huh.
Another one for, like, production stuff. Uh-huh. Another one with an editing bay. He literally turned this room into an editing bay to edit the movie while they were filming it. So at the end, for dailies, instead of having dailies, he could go in and just edit the movie.
Right.
And then show them the edited stuff already.
Okay.
With the music. Oh, I think the music was the only thing that edited. The music was later. Yeah. But everything else he was able to edit, which is pretty cool. Yeah.
Basically, he's kind of like his own critic.
Yeah.
Well, it's
just
good.
And he does his own work. I like this. Good. I like the fact that he does all this stuff. It's really cool to me.
Good. I mean, that's great. Because then he puts out a finished product that he's proud of.
Yeah. Yes. And as someone who is the producer of many podcasts, I appreciate the fact that someone does take all the effort and does all the work like that. Because it's so rare that someone does a kind of work for a movie like this outside of the indie circuit, you know? I mean, it's kind of in the glorified indie film at the end of the day, you know? Because this is only our, third location?
It's better than most indie films that I've seen.
This is like the only our third location in this movie at this point? Because we had the car scene at the beginning, our car scene for 1979, and everything else has been at movies.
The go-karts.
And the go-karts.
Yeah.
And then this.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's pretty good. But not bad. I mean, of course, we have the quick stop at the end, but that was, as we learn, later, we'll get to that with Ming. We'll get to that with Ming later. But that's that, and that's pretty cool. So
it's just more like a lot of indie films that I've seen are mainly just, you know, people talking and trying to sound very meaningful or pretentious in that, but in fact, it's just basically it's basically the guy trying to sound smart.
It's like trying to do Clerks without heart.
Right. Yeah.
But
basically, when you do stuff like that, but you get a big budget, you get Southland Tales.
But you got to look at this for what it is. It's a movie that kind of pokes fun at several things, and basically you can laugh at yourself with this movie. So I mean,
that's what the movie's been at home.
Yeah, and the thing is, you can't take this Clerks 1 and 2 seriously. You take it for what it is.
Actually, no. Clerks 1 is a straight up lesson on how you make a great indie film. Mm-hmm. Clerks 2 is Kevin Smith celebrating the fact that he had this career.
Yeah.
That's pretty much Clerks 2. Yeah. It's a celebration of what I've been able to pull off in the last 15 years.
Basically, the reason this is good to elaborate on the reason why I hate it.
Go for it.
Southland Tales. It's what happens when you squander your indie cred that you get from making an actually decent movie, thinking that you're a fucking genius and thus thus making the movie confusing as all hell. Connecting it with 3 graphic novel prequels and trying to basically make it this sort of like interactive experience when in fact the prequels just managed to make the story even more confusing. You have a cast that doesn't know what the fuck is going on in the movie, and you think you're a fucking genius only for the critics to basically dismiss it, and it to basically torpedo your career for a while. His next movie was The Box, which was considerably scaled back compared to Southland Tales, but it didn't do too well.
Well,
now that we got that off your chest.
That's fine. He's allowed. But it's his show. He's allowed to do something like that.
All right.
Basically, UJ always kept telling me to tell him what the plot was. I told him I can't really describe what the plot is.
Okay. But the thing is with this movie, though,
back to this movie.
You know, you don't take it seriously. You take it for what it is, and I think that's Kevin Smith's Kevin Smith's part of his repertoire or appeal is that you poke fun of yourself, you can laugh at yourself, and basically you don't take things too seriously, which is good because we need to have that where you're able to laugh at yourself. And
the fact that we're getting a Jay and Silent Bob reboot says a lot about Kevin Smith's sense of humor.
Right.
The fact that he's willing to go back and make fun of a movie that was making fun of the Hollywood world says something to me.
And also what I was going to say was, I'd say the only movie of his that he really took himself seriously on was probably Red State. And even that...
Well, Dogma, too. Dogma, he was taking a little bit seriously because he was trying to get to a point of something in that movie.
But yeah, with Red State, he was trying to make a horror film, and, you know, he had to take it seriously there.
Which, by the way, he has openly said that is the movie that should have been nominated for some kind of an Oscar.
Yeah.
And he's still to this day bitter that they didn't nominate that movie for an Oscar.
Yeah.
Well, he's bitter. And I don't blame him for it.
Yeah.
Let me put this question out there.
I think it was just more the critics were just...
Well, he thinks Michael Park deserved it.
Okay, let me put this question out there.
I think he should have gotten it for Tusk.
Let me put this question out there. Do you think that people like on the Academy Board look at him differently and you snub him because he's not one of these prim and proper guys that
I was joking about this during the Emmy Awards. I was joking about this during the Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
The Emmy Awards are turning into the Academy Awards.
Yeah,
more or less.
That I have no idea what the fuck is winning awards. I don't know any of these. I don't know any movies. I don't know any of these TV shows. I have no clue what's going on.
People that want great art and all that. All that, and basically we'll nominate something obscure just to make sure that the great art gets the recognition it deserves.
But
I don't understand that logic.
You guys knew, or I don't know if you heard of this, that they were put in category best movie.
Maybe. It's questionable. It's still questionable.
Well, from what I understand is they're not going to put it in anymore.
Yeah, it was questionable, and then they realized how dumb of an idea it was.
Right, and my thing is that I think...
People were making fun of it. That's what happened.
Right. My thing is I think it should stay because basically... Then you're overlooking pictures that have that opportunity to have that.
On the downside, it means that Michael Bay can be nominated for an Oscar.
Technically, he has been for like visual effects. He does get the credit in those movies.
Still.
But that still counts. I'm just saying, he still does count.
Because
think that Adam Sandler has been nominated
but
for
he
an
has
Oscar.
Been.
But
he
here's
has
the thing.
Been.
If you look at it, like, during the time Black Panther was on.
That deserves
some
credit.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you've got like Marvel movies that are out there.
I think my problem is with the Academy Awards in general, there was a time where the popular movie actually won the damn awards.
Like Jaws.
Jaws. Even Titanic to a point.
Yes.
Titanic, while it's very arty and a lot of people don't love it, it's still one of the biggest movies ever made.
Well,
and it won all the awards.
But
that deserves it.
But be quite honest, big guy.
Okay.
The last picture that I think actually did or did deserve the Best Picture award was Spotlight. And quite honestly, it was one that UJ and I enjoyed immensely.
Okay, that's fine.
You have to see it. I'm sorry.
That's fine, though. I'm just making a point, though.
But yeah. Most of it, it's just basically this foreign, you know, very special movie illness. Someone's got a terminal illness. Basically, it's the kind of bait that I thought Wonder was.
Okay, but you look at something and then you got Quentin Tarantino that does Pulp Fiction and basically gets all these nominations and awards.
I think it's a rap effort to basically try and get people off the track that they love that they prefer art films.
But okay, I'm looking up right now. I got the Academy Awards up right here.
Okay,
I got some 2000 on movies that have won Best Picture, Gladiator.
Yeah.
Okay. Beautiful Mind.
Yes.
I saw that one. Yeah, I deserved it.
Yeah.
Chicago. Okay, fine. At the time, I'm not a big fan of the movie. It was good, but I've always said this. If Chicago did not win that Oscar, then Rent and Hairspray don't get made. And that's a fact. It's on the DVD sets.
But I think, too, with Chicago is a lot of people saw the Broadway show and then went to see the movie.
But still, Chicago was not nearly as good as everyone said it was. I watched it. It wasn't as good.
Okay.
But again, it's dead on the DVD sets. Rent and Hairspray don't get made if that movie doesn't win an Oscar.
Got it.
So that says something
They also tend to snub a lot of horror and sci-fi movies.
I was going
to
say, and then the next up is Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, and that's pretty much as Lord of the Rings, the franchise won an Oscar. That's what that was. So I'll let that one slide.
What I was going to say is, come on, The Fly. How could Jeff Goldblum not get a Best Actor nom?
And then you had Million Dollar Baby, which deserved it.
That's a
great movie.
Yeah.
I gotta say, that's a great movie.
Yes.
And then Crash.
I liked it.
Okay.
But here's the thing with me with Crash, I don't think it was worth all the hype to give it. But that's just me.
But also, I don't think Brokeback Mountain was worth all the hype either.
True.
The only reason they wanted it to win was because
it was what it was.
It was gay cowboys, you know, not because it was a good movie.
But you have to look at when the movie was put out and during the time and
it was
era.
An odd timing.
Right.
But you want to know what's ironic? Back then, Brokeback Mountain was seen as the more controversial movie while Crash was the safe one. Nowadays, that would be reversed.
But during the time that Brokeback Mountain came out, it was a time when a lot of people were basically, how can I put it, telling people about their sexuality and were coming out. And that picture kind of helped a lot of people do that.
I want to make a note real fast. I just went back a little further because we're talking about the 2000s.
Okay.
We're talking about popular movies that won Oscars, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Popular movies that have won Academy Awards. This is more in the 90s. So here we go.
Okay.
Dances with Wolves, Silence of the Lambs, Unforgiven, Schindler's List, Forrest Gump, Braveheart, The English Patient, Titanic, Shakespeare in Love, American Beauty. What was I saying, though? That's the 90s. There's a lot of movies in there I've actually seen.
Those last two I really wouldn't count as popular movies.
1997, this is the best picture in 97, and this is a ridiculous list now looking back.
Okay.
Titanic, As Good As It Gets, The Full Monty, Good Will Hunting, and LA Confidential. That's a hell of a group of movies. Yeah. That's there's no way in hell you're that kind of group now.
That's right. That's a group where you just go, eeny, meeny, miney.
If it wasn't Titanic's year, that would have been a tougher category if it wasn't Titanic's year.
You were referencing Southland Tales before, right?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. To me, Southland Tales is a ripoff of Pulp Fiction. And the way it was.
Pulp Fiction only pretentious.
Yeah. Again, by the way, you're Forrest Gump one. Forrest Gump, yes. For a Wedding and a Funeral, Pulp Fiction, Quiz Show, and The Shawshank Redemption.
Damn.
That's a group. That's a fantastic group.
I would say probably the exception of Four Weddings and a Funeral. That's actually a fantastic group.
Yeah.
I didn't realize Babe was nominated for Best Picture.
Hmm. There you go.
Against Apollo 13 and Braveheart, A Sense of Sensibility, and The Postman.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. These are movies that actually know. Like, we don't have categories
anymore.
Just
to clarify, it's the Spanish film, not the Kevin Costner film.
No, yeah, you're right. Absolutely right.
Yeah. Okay.
And Beauty and the Beast, by the way, was nominated in the Silence of the Lambs year.
Although I will admit, The Postman doesn't deserve a lot of the hate it gets.
So, just making a point, though, there was a time where popular movies did win Academy Awards.
Yeah.
And now,
Dark Knight.
Yeah. Yes.
But even that's because people would have had a bitch fit if Heath Ledger didn't win.
Yeah, but still, you could say Dark Knight won a best actor.
Yeah.
Right.
I would say the best actor nod was inevitable for that one. What really shocked me was Robert Downey Jr. getting nominated for Tropic Thunder.
True. A very good point.
And let's be quite honest, it's actually a rather multi-layered performance. What? He's playing an Australian method actor playing a black soldier in Vietnam. And he basically, as he puts, he doesn't break character until he does a DVD commentary.
Wow. So are you saying he's got multiple personalities?
No, it's multiple layers.
Got it.
Multiple layers, two multiple personalities. Got it. So all right.
But once again, I think the board has favoritism there. You know, when there's a certain director or a certain picture, and I think you should basically judge it on its merit alone and not have favoritism.
They have favoritism towards basically arty, pretentious,
like, I will say something,
serious message type movies.
La La Land got nominated for Best Picture. And you know what? That was not a good movie. Mm. I watched it. I was bored on it. For me to get bored in a musical says something about how bad this movie is.
Yeah.
I got bored. Yeah. Openly bored. Started, like, zoning out during this movie. It was not a good movie. How that got nominated for an Oscar and Greatest Showman does not. And it's the same fucking crew. It's the same people.
Yes,
the
Greatest
Showman is going to nominate. Well, it's not accurate and it's not arty.
But my point is, like, it still annoys me, the fact that happened that way. Like, La La Land gets all this love and Greatest Showman doesn't.
Know. Oh, there was a joke on the Cinema Snob you would have loved. He's covering a religious film from this guy called Estes Burkle. He's just saying, you know, it's a great thing with the Estes Burkle movie. You never know what happens next. And then you see a little midget woman getting put up onto the podium so she can sing. And he kept cutting back to the snob. He's got this look of what the fuck on his face. And when she starts singing, he cuts back to the snob. He goes, I don't know. The Greatest Showman wasn't that bad.
Oh, jeez. That's that.
You know, Joe, I'm sorry that we got off this track. I apologize.
Let's finish up here. Let's help people go along here. Let's go back over here. So back to the movie. Back to this.
Yeah.
Randall says you can, as Dante Joseph said, we wouldn't have been working in a fucking convenience store for our entire lives. And Randall just said, you can badmouth Quickstep all you want. I loved working there. I consider that the best time of my life. That is straight up accurate for Randall.
Yeah.
I think that's perfect for his character, straight up. And it sounds like me talking about my airport job, where I miss working at the airport. I don't want to go back because it's different, but like those 6 years of my life were amazing.
Well, yeah.
So that's what that feels like to me.
Okay.
And that's 300 minutes.
Yeah.
And we'll culminate this in our next episode. Yeah.
Wow, that was a little lively discussion. I'm sorry we got off the beaten path.
No, don't apologize.
But it happens. But the thing is and to me, I think Kevin Smith... his work gets overlooked.
It does.
And it shouldn't be, because you got to take the movie for what it is.
I think the only reason his movies get critical hate is because he has a hatred of critics.
That's true.
That's true.
He does.
That's
true. That is very accurate.
That's true.
So that is that. That is our episode. That is our movie. That is 2018 here on Clerks Minute.
Da-da-da!
And we'll be back on the other side with more guests to continue on, because a lot of people requested this whole this whole jail scene. So we have more guests coming out later in the week.
Oh, outstanding.
To bring in 2019. So, that all being said, you can find us on all the social medias at Clerks Minute. Obviously, you know where to listen to us at this point. And join the Facebook community and find us over there. Quick shout out to our guys over at Jay and Silent Bob Minute. Very good guys, and they're working on, I think at this point, they're finishing up Mallrats and getting pre-production for Dogma. So, ooh, very good guys over there. Good guys. I was on their show for Mallrats. Awesome people. Also, plugging the Movies by Minute community. A bunch of people over there. As we end 2018, those guys over at moviesbyminute.com are amazing. They're great people, great friends. I made some really good friends over there, and I just want to shout them out because they are amazing people. And not just the people that come on this show. There are a lot of people that don't come on this show that have great podcasts and great and just have a good time, and I have a great time with them. We're still trying to schedule MMX 2019. So if we do that, I'll plan on going out there for that. I'm definitely going to MMX 2019. And also, we're part of the Filling the Void podcast network, as this is going to be the last episode of 2018 on the network. Dave, thank you so much for hosting us again this year. We'll be wrapping this up in a couple of weeks, so thank you so much for that.
Thank you, boss.
And that all being said, all plugs out of the way, you can hear Dad as the third voice on the Blake and Sal show.
Yep.
Every Friday. And when you hear this, you can go back and hear our year-end show, which is the Friday before this. So our big year-end spectacular that we do every year that it always turns into a clusterfuck mess by the end of it all. But it's always fun. I love our year-end show. I look forward to it every year.
That's the wonderful show where you can kind of rant and rave and get everything out.
It's one of my favorite shows of the year. Really.
Yeah, there you go.
One of my favorite shows of the year. So that's this past Friday, so you can go back and listen to that. Thank you, Dad, for coming on.
Hey, no, thank you for inviting me, and I hope to do it again real soon.
Thank you so much. Kyle, let's wrap this bad boy up.
Alrighty.
Thank you all for listening. I'm Blake.
I'm Kyle.
Have a good day, everybody.
Oh, shit. Not again. Gotta finish.
Noise, noise, noise. Smoking weed, smoking whiz. Doing coke, drinking beers. Drinking beers, beers, beers. Rolling fatties, smoking blunts. Who smokes the blunts? Who smoked the blunts? Rolling blunts and smoking blunts.